beginning in verse 1 of chapter 8. Soon afterward, he, that's Jesus, went on through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza and Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering, and the people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell upon the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Some fell among the thorns. The thorns grew up with it and choked it. Some fell into the good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold." And he said these things. As he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when the disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they're in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they heard the word, they received it with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar and puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will be known, that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Then his mothers and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Let's pray. Father, we come to your word this morning, recognizing its glory and power, recognizing our great need for it. Father, we come. And I want to bring before you this morning those who come not recognizing its power, not recognizing their need for it. Father, would you come to us this morning by your word? Would your Spirit dig deep into us, expose us to the conviction of knowing ourselves? And Father, expose us to the glory of Jesus and the gospel, we pray, for your name's sake. Amen. Many of you, most of you, if you've sat under the preaching of the Word of God, have engaged in some manner of critique of the preaching of the Word of God. Perhaps in a positive way, as you've sat under the Word of God, and maybe some particular individual was standing up in front of you on a Sunday morning and talking about this and that and the other thing, and as you reflected, you were trying to find, like, where would he be talking about that from? I'm not seeing the scriptures here. I'm not seeing where in the Bible these words are coming from. And so in a right way, you've sat critically under the preaching because it wasn't the preaching of the Word of God. Perhaps some of you have also sat critically under the Word of God, thinking many different things to yourself. You know, this particular sermon is not really to my taste. I wish that the preacher would do this or do that or the other thing. There's good and bad critique of the preaching of the Word of God. As elders, we devote time in our elder meeting every month to give constructive criticism of the preaching that happens week in and week out here on Sunday mornings. Why? Because preaching is absolutely essential to the life of the church. It's through preaching, the folly of what is preached, that God has designed to bring life and light to dead sinners, to bring them into the kingdom, to equip us, to grow us, to sanctify us in the church of God. Preaching, we rightly critique and seek to grow and shape in order that it might be more and more fruitful. There's good critique, there's bad critique, but because preaching is so important, it's right that we make sure that it's true preaching. We make sure that it's good and healthy and helpful preaching. The importance of true preaching leads us to analyze preaching, to grow in preaching, to give examination to the preaching of the Word of God so that it would continue to profit the people of God. I want to ask you whether you've rightly or wrongly sat in critique of the preaching of the Word of God. But the question that we have this morning is this: if the importance of true preaching leads us to careful examination of the quality and character of our preaching, this passage leads us to say that the importance of true hearing of preaching ought to lead us to a careful examination of the character and quality of our hearing of preaching. So, I may be in the hot seat a lot of times when it comes to criticism, but now together, under the light, the searching light of the Word of God, we have this call to self-examination in terms of our hearing of the preached Word of God. As you heard the reading of this passage this morning, you may have heard that emphasis through the passage, the emphasis on hearing. As the passage opens with that introductory section, a summarizing piece there in verses 1 to 3, Luke begins to point us in the direction that he's going to go. He tells us that afterward, Jesus went on through cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news. Jesus was a preacher, and Jesus preached the good news of the kingdom of God. And so that's how we're introduced here. We see this to and fro work of Jesus in proclaiming the kingdom. But then, right away, we have the crowd gathered, and Luke is going to point us to something. He's going to point us to something very important. He's going to point us to the hearing of preaching, to a careful examination of ourselves. What kind of hearer are we? Notice how he introduces this setting with the proclamation of the kingdom, but then he gives the parable. He gives a parable, and when the disciples ask him, he introduces, when we come to the end of the parable, Jesus gives this call there in verse 8. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The disciples ask about the parable, and Jesus says, parables are given for some to keep them in the dark, but to you is given the explanation, the secrets of the kingdom, that you might know what I'm talking about. And then as he unfolds the parable, we find out that the whole parable is about the reception of the Word of God. The parable is about the soil, which fundamentally is the heart of you and me. Our heart is the center of the soil. But look what it says there in the explanation of the parable. The first instance, the seed is the word, and then he says, those along the path are those who heard. And then he says, those on the rock are those who hear the word. And then in verse 14, he says, that which fell among the thorns, it's those who hear. And then in verse 15, he says that the good soil is those hearing the word. And then in the section that comes after, he gets to the first exhortation in this whole section, and it has to do with hearing. You see it there in verse 18? Take care then how you hear. For the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. And then we come to the end of that next little piece where the mothers and brothers are coming and they're trying to see Jesus, and Jesus says, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. So you see that this entire piece here, verses 1 through 21, is caught up with the subject of the hearing of the proclamation of the word of God. Here's how I would summarize what's going on in this passage. In this passage, this whole section, Jesus provides an explanation for the varied responses to the Word of God. That's the first thing he does. He provides an explanation for the varied responses. He goes about proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God, and there's all different kinds of responses happening. So he provides an explanation. Why do people respond this way and this way and this way and this way? And second, Jesus provokes, in that provision of an explanation, he provokes examination of ourselves, causing us to ask, which soil are we? So he provides an explanation of the varied responses, and in so doing, he provokes examination of ourselves, causing us to ask, what kind of soil are we? And the purpose of the provision and the provoking is to the end of verse 18, that we would take care then how we hear. The way that you hear and respond to the Word of God is of utmost importance in your life. This entire section is caught up on that one issue. And here's the reality. This parable didn't just play itself out at one point with the disciples many thousands of years ago. And it doesn't just play itself out, you know, that one time, the first time that you heard the gospel or the first time that you heard the word of God. This parable right here plays itself out in every single occasion of the proclamation of the Word of God, which means that this parable right here is playing itself out in this very moment, 11:30 in the morning on this day at this place, right as you sit in your pew, right now, this parable is playing itself out. There are four soils. And in the explanation that Jesus provides to explain why there are varied responses to the Word of God, the heart of the explanation, though there's going to be four different kinds of soil, the heart of the explanation can be summarized by one of my favorite preachers, and he said it this way, very simply. The state of the soil determines the fate of the seed. The state of the soil determines the fate of the seed. So as Jesus comes to us this morning, he's providing an explanation. He's telling us the state of the soil determines the fate of the seed. And he wants to provoke us to examine ourselves, to say before God, as in the light of his word and the searching power of his Holy Spirit, what kind of soil am I? This morning, in the hearing of the word of God, what kind of soil am I? Because the state of the soil determines the fate of the seed. He wants to expose us that we might take care then how we hear. So this morning, for the rest of their time, we're simply going to look at the first soil in this parable. This morning, for the rest of our time, we want to look at the first soil in this parable. Hearing of the Word of God and who we are as hearers is so important. Jesus is explaining the state of the soil determines the fate of the seed. I want you to understand, to have the Word search you and tell you what kind of soil are you. Even as the Word comes out this morning, this is going on. Four kinds of soil. So the first soil is this. Jesus comes to the explanation in verse 11. And he says, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. We've established this. The word is going forth and there's varied response. The explanation for those varied responses is that there's different kinds of soils. Four of them. Four different kinds of soils. The soil is our heart. The soil is our heart. Four different qualities. Three negative, one positive. And the first is this. Go back to the description in the parable itself. Verse 5. Sower went out to sow a seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled underfoot. The birds of the air devoured it. This is the image that's going to carry us through all of the explanation of the different soil. The image of a sower going out. He's got his seed bag. He's distributing seed wherever he goes. And the first soil that we come to here is the soil of a path. When I was growing up, I grew up overseas, and everywhere you go, you walk barefoot, and there's paths around, and you see that even when the grass is really long, they have this razor grass that cuts your hands if you slide them through it wrongly, and everything in the tropics grows with incredible vigor and power, but you get to an open place in these grassy areas, and you start walking, you see there's a path. It's clear and it's rock solid, and though that grass will grow everywhere else on the path, there's no grass. It's smooth, it's hard. That's the first soil that we come to in our parable. The paths in the context of the parable were through farmers' fields, right? You didn't have a grid road, mile road system in Jesus' day and place. You have fields about, but people still need to get across to that way and that way and that way. And so they walk along a path in the field. They follow the same course every time, and you get hundreds of people going back and forth, and the ground gets packed down like a rock. Solid, smooth, hard. Some of the seed that the sower sows falls on that path, falls on that soil. Jesus begins to explain to us what happened here, first in the parable and then in the explanation. We see that when it falls on the path, not having the ability to sink down into the dirt to germinate and spring up and bear fruit, it just lays there. It lays there on that rock-hard surface of the ground. And, of course, what happens, people are going to walk there. And so they trample along the seed, and there it still lays. It's not able to get in there. It's not able to do anything. And so it just lays on the top, and the birds come down, and they snatch it up, and they take off, and they have their meal. Jesus says this. These are the ones along the path who have heard, then the devil comes, takes away the word from their hearts. The first soil represented when the word of God goes forth to people is the soil of the rock, hard path. A heart that is indifferent and impenetrable when it comes to the Word of God. And as we said, this reality is playing itself out. Every time the Word of God goes forth, we have different soils. Different soils responding in different ways. The first soil, the Word of God is proclaimed, it's heralded. The law is proclaimed in all of its awesome, terrifying power as we find in the Scriptures that we have been created by a holy and righteous and good God, that He has in His own self exhibited His character for us in His Word, called us to a particular obedience, that we stand accountable to that Word, that we stand accountable to that God. And He tells us in His Word that we are in ourselves incapable of keeping that Word as He has commanded. Every single one of us has fallen short of the glory of God. We've swerved to our own paths. We've rebelled against that God. He's come in His Word to attack every kind of suggestion that we could maybe outwardly keep the Word and still proclaim some kind of rightness, right standing before Him. He comes to the people and He says, yeah, you think that just because you haven't broken your marriage vows physically with someone, then somehow you haven't been liable to adultery. He says, if you look on a woman in lust, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. James says, if we fail in one point, though keeping all the rest of God's law, it is as if we have broken the entire thing. The Word of God comes to us and it tells us that because we've sinned before a righteous and holy God, and though we owed Him all of our obedience and worship and allegiance and praise, we've sinned, we've failed, and we deserve His wrath for all eternity. But see, there's hard soil. There's hard soil. Some of you, even as I was talking about those things, you're thinking about the colors of the wood back here. You're thinking about maybe what you'll do this afternoon. You're thinking, man, like, I prefer encouraging sermons. It's like that path that's just trampled down hard. The law of God comes and it does nothing. It doesn't grieve you under it, not even a little bit. You simply don't care. Trampled ground. The seed is laying on top. But God didn't leave us there in our rebellion, in our sin, deserving damnation forever, righteously to hear that verdict, guilty. Here's your punishment. Go, depart from me, you wicked and evildoers. Depart into the dark night. Depart into the lake of fire. Be gone. Serve your punishment. He didn't leave us there. He sent his only begotten Son. Whosoever should believe on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He sent Jesus, the Jesus that we see here in the Gospel of Luke, filled with love and compassion, obeying the law of God in the place of condemned sinners, holy, righteous before God, and then going to the cross again in the place of condemned sinners. While we were yet ungodly, Christ died for us. Raised up in glory on the cross as he displays God's perfect justice. He vindicates the holiness of God by being a propitiation, a wrath-bearing sacrifice, exhausting the righteous wrath of God in place of all his people, such that whoever turns from their sins and trusts in him alone would receive his righteousness imputed to them, even as their sin is imputed to him and dealt with once for all on the cross. And then he ascends up out of the grave to glory. He's raised up into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, to reign and rule, to intercede on behalf of his people. But there's a hard soil. Some of you hear me talking about Christ and his perfect obedience and his substitutionary death and his glorious resurrection. And right now he's reigning at the right hand of the Father and nothing happens. Nothing happens in here. I've heard it all before. Maybe you could tell a fun story. The state of the soil determines the fate of the seed. Friends, if you've been exposed even in the slightest way this morning, if you hear me and you say, yeah, I care nothing for what you have said, it's not landing at all, I am indifferent to it, that's happened Sunday after Sunday, I'd really like to just get out of here and do something else, it is the kindness of God that would bring even the smallest level of conviction to you this morning. It's the kindness of God that would even show you just a glimpse of that hard path inside your heart that the Word just sprays across and rolls along Sunday after Sunday here in this place. Self-examination is hard. We run away from it. One of the Puritans said, it's like a man who really doesn't want to go check that bank draft amount because he's worried that he might find that there's nothing there. That's how we are with self-examination. Just keep it a little bit farther out. I'm just going to keep skating along as if everything is fine. I don't want to really turn that word in here for too long, because what if I find hard soil? What if I find that I've been sitting here on Sunday morning after Sunday morning and the Word of God is just rolling along my dead, hard heart like seed across the ground? What if I find that out? It's the best thing you could ever find out. It's the best thing that you could find out. To find that that is the case means that you could pursue the God who can change hard hearts. The danger is to go on in indifference. Friends, we can't ignore the spiritual realities that are going on. You think, what is it? What is it to just sit here and let this kind of skate over me? I'll tell you what it is. Jesus says, it's the devil himself. This morning, the word goes out, and you're thinking about something else. He snatches the seed away from your heart. Why so serious? Do you see what's going on here? The devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. We're talking about eternity with God or eternity in damnation with only the presence of his wrath. Are we too sophisticated for that spiritual reality here this morning? I hope not. Friends, let the light of the word shine on you this morning. Don't run away. Do not assume that you know what kind of soil you are. Because nothing could be worse than remaining hard, impenetrable soil, week after week, hearing the good news preached and the evil one snatching it away so that you would not believe and be saved. Examine yourself. Some of you go out here Sunday after Sunday, and sometimes you're excited. You have lots to say. You know, it was really good this week. It was this great story. I really enjoyed it. It was a fun week in church this morning. And your summaries of what was a good week in church tell everything about the hard path of your heart. Because everything you're excited about was things that are at best secondary and at worst totally irrelevant. He was funny this week. I liked the story this week. Friends, I believe with all my heart, that there are preachers in pulpits week after week that encourage the hard, stony path hearts of people because they give carnal people with no spiritual life or understanding just enough to be able to go home and say, that was a pretty good one. I had a pretty good time. I enjoyed it. It wasn't too boring. It wasn't too long. Not here. Did you see what it said? The devil snatches away the seed so that they wouldn't believe and be saved. I don't want to be any part of giving just enough for the unspiritual, unbelieving, carnal person to say, you know what, that was all right. What kind of hearer are you? If God has exposed you this morning, a hard path in your heart. You've seen that the seed of the gospel, the word of God, comes and it just lays there. The evil one snatches it away week after week so that you wouldn't believe and be saved. What will you do? I told you, the smallest conviction is the greatest kindness of God in your life right at this moment. You can do what the blind men do when they encounter Jesus in Matthew chapter 20. As they went out of Jericho, a great crowd followed Jesus, and behold, there were two blind men sitting on the roadside. And when they heard Jesus was passing by, they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd rebuked them, telling them to be silent, but they cried out all the more, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." And stopping, Jesus called them and he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." Let our eyes be opened. Friends, if your heart is the hard path soil, nothing happening when the Word of God comes to you, whether the Word of the law or the glory of the gospel, none of it. But you've seen that. Cry out as the blind men cry out, "Lord, let our eyes be opened. Lord, let this heart of stone be a heart of flesh. Lord, have mercy on us." You see what the Lord does in pity. He touched their eyes. And immediately they recovered their sight and followed him. Jesus provides the explanation for the varied responses. If you're here and you're indifferent to the words of the gospel, you have that hard path soil in your heart. That determines your response. You can't change that on your own. But God can. Cry out to him that he would. Appeal to him that he would. Let us be sober-minded as we evaluate our hearing of the Word of God. Let us look with careful self-examination. Over these weeks as we spend in this parable, let's not run quickly past it. What might God be pleased to do here if we would take care then how we hear? What might God be pleased to do in us if we would just let his word come and expose the kind of soil we are? That we would be careful hearers. That we would be in his mercy and by his grace and by his power, the good soil, those hearing the word who hold fast to it in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience all the way to eternal life in his presence. Oh, how we ought to pray for our hearing of the Word of God, even as we pray for the preaching of the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we ought not to try to wiggle out from the searching light of your Word. We ought not try to escape the gravity of your Word and try to run off to lighter things. Father, would we submit to it this morning, and would it do its work in us? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.